Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed are they that trust in the Lord, for they shall reap a bountiful harvest. In this time of plenitude, there should be an attitude of indeed immense and intense gratitude to those who are walking in the pathway of righteousness and of obedience and of integrity. We have a standard that we acquire the very best that God has to offer. And this is what the manna from on high broadcasts definitely instructs you with week after week, time after time, to get you into the right flowetry where you receive the very best that God has to offer. And if there was ever a time you and I both needed to receive the best that God has to offer, why? So we can get puffed up, known full of pride? No. But to share with others. This is a care and share time, a care and share season. For as much as God puts in our storehouse, we are required by Him to share with those who are less fortunate. That's right. And we count all that we have as a blessing from the Lord. I don't take anything for granted anymore. You know, in days preempting my phase of maturity, it was a time that I took things for granted. It was like, well, you know something, I worked hard, you know, I made a wonderful presentation, I was very effective in my capacity, my requirements were met, my benchmarks were fulfilled or completed. So therefore, I am due for the highest level of recipiency as it relates to compensation. But when I became of maturity and of age, I began to appreciate all the public presentations, all the requests for me to come out and to engage and to instruct and to teach and to provide leadership. I take it as an honor now. It was a pride thing in my younger days. But now I take it as a privileged opportunity that something is needed from my person. That I have been deemed as honorable, respectful, and respected by so many who depend on my instruction to give them the guiding parameters in their life, to be able to build them up on their most holy faith, or to identify problematic areas, or to receive counsel or something from me, so that now translates to a spirit of appreciation. Thank God, thank you, number one, for the gifts. You see, gifts and callings, and understand this well, come without repentance. But see, every good and perfect thing, balance the equation, cometh from the Lord. So in all these wonderful attributes that God has given me and trusted me with, I thank Him for it, because He could have gave these astronomical gifts to someone else. Who am I that He should even consider me? And even in you, the greatness of the gifts that God has embedded and spiritually encoded within you, you ought to appreciate and stir up the gift that abides within you. This is the reason why you've got this roadblock in your life. This is the reason why you can't get over it for going under. This is the reason why you constantly keep bumping your head. You're not stirring up the gift. I, as your instructor, as your teacher, am telling you, stir up the gift. Stir it up. You set it on the shelf for so long because you're talking about, I've got to get my life together. I've got to get my financial situation together. I've got to get my relationship together with my significant other. I've got to get my education together. No, you set your gift on the shelf, and that gift has become inactive. And understand this. This is a personal revelation. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you listen to what I'm saying to you. If something does not explode or expound outward, what's going to happen? It's going to implode inwardly. And people say, well, implosion is not that. Implosion is even more detrimental. Why? Because implosion means that all of the collateral damage, the chaotic aftermath, is going to be within that person. Your energies, your endeavors, you keep going in the hole. You can't seem to raise up. You can't seem to get yourself right. Why? Because you're suffering from a spiritual implosion. You're not being obedient. You're sitting there with the gifts of God abiding within you, but you're so self-centered. Don't tell me, because I've been there. I've done that. I've been that way. And you've imploded. Things just started crumbling in your body, in your mind, in your environment, because there's an implosion. You're not being obedient to the will and the word of God that abides within you. You got to stir up that gift, stir up the gift, stir up the gift, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. When you stir it up, something magnificent is going to happen. Something fantabulous, stupendous, something beyond the reconciliation of syntax, of grammar, is going to happen. It will literally be indescribable. But you've got to stir up the gift. That means you've got to get up off yourself and get into the Spirit of the Lord. Because as the scripture is saying, he says, not by might. It's not by power. And Lord knows we need power. He said, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by your name, your identification, your logo. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And he's saying, stir up the gift today. Because this is the reason why your life is on hold. You can't seem to progress. Things are still stagnant. And here you're trying in your own energy, trying your own intelligence. We are finite beings. We're limited. We don't have the capacity to break strongholds. We don't have the ability to overcome demonic energies on our own. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. It takes the presence of the Most High, Elohim, El Shaddai. It takes God's presence on your behalf to rule on your behalf in order to break these channels. That's right, because there's some evil in the environment. Let me tell you something. Putting them on the shelf, putting God last, and instead of putting him first and foremost, making him the source of your life, the reason of your existence, you're undefeatable. Whatever comes at you, God will send it the other way. Your enemies will come at you one way, God will park them up, and they'll flee from you 1,000 ways. They'll flee from you 7 ways, whatever God sees fit. He can say, flee from you even in a million ways. And people would just start dropping off, just dropping off, being removed, being transferred, being literally eradicated from your environment. Because your ways please God, and he will cause your enemies to lay dormant and be your footstool. And I just love that scripture. He says, hold thy peace until I make thy enemies thy footstool. You know what? Something, footstools are good things. Let me tell you something about footstools. Have them, have had them in the past, and even had a couple. Let me tell you something. Footstools serve a purpose. Why? They raise you up. They elevate you. Never kick your footstool. You don't kick it. God's already made it your servant. He's already put it beneath you. You don't kick it. You step up on it and you raise up and you receive the greatness of his presence. That's the purpose of footstools. That's right. That's right. That's the purpose that they serve. So don't kick them. Just walk on them. He said he gave us the power to tread upon scorpions, walk upon adders, crush the heads of the enemy. And, oh, does he give us that power to do it? Doesn't he show up and show out in us? But you've got to stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. The reason why you're operating in weakness, you haven't stirred up the gift. You haven't stirred up the gift. Say, Lord, at this moment, just drop it like it's hard. And say, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. Say it. Say it and mean it. I thank you for the opportunity to stir up the gift that abideth within me. Thank you for forgiving me of my ignorance, for not acknowledging the greatness that you have placed within me, so that I become a living example of your greatness. I receive your forgiveness, and I stir, say it, I stir gift within me, that thy name be glorified, that thy name be exalted, and that thy presence be acknowledged. Father God, I thank you through the name of our Lord and Savior. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. Can't go on your own. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Stirring up that gift is a contingency of things that we have to do in order to receive the greatness that God has for us in this present life, this present domain, or as many refer to it as a terrestrial terrain. That's right. We have to do that. And so many times people want to get caught up into vain religiosity. That's right. Let me tell you something. Vain religiosity will get you nowhere. I read for you a couple of weeks ago about the sons of Sceva, who was a vagabond Jew. He was well-respected. They thought that vain religiosity gave them some authoritative measure in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And they saw a real generic man, a nucleus man full of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul. They saw what he had done in casting out evil spirits. Here they were with their vain religiosity, with their false labels with no stable, confronting the evil spirits. You read it. I told you to read it. The 19th chapter of the book of Acts. What happened? Those very men got a royal beatdown. They even had their clothes torn off because you don't play with the negative elements of this life, if you're not abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you're not walking in the pathway of obedience, you don't have any authority over evil presences. You only gain that authority through the name of Jesus Christ. But see, you've got to bear his mark, take on his name to have that power. We've been given this power, this treasure, in an earthen vessel. So we have to understand there are base level requirements. As educators, we have base level requirements we have to acclimate to. If not, what happens? Our capacity of teaching gets evaluated poorly. Our standards of performance are not met. That's another poor mark. Our benchmarks, if it's not acclimate or reflective of our laws, our lesson plans, we get another mark. So there's a lot of fail safes in there. That's my. There's nothing safe about falling. You don't know how you'll be injured, but it's a negative mark against you. So you have to be in the way that is right. And it's not about being religious. Religion doesn't get you anything. Salvation entitles you to everything. Do you understand that? Religion gains you nothing. You're going through the motion. You're still evil. You're still backstabbing. You're still full of strife. You're still stirring up trouble, doing things to try to promote wickedness. You're still monopolizing upon the weakness of others. You're still lying. You're still fighting. You're still cursing. You're still acting out of character. So you can be religious and do that because you can put on a face in the place, and then behind the mask, you know, you turn around, you use as a counterfeit, and you can go out in the street and still act up. But see, when you have salvation, we're not perfect. But you know what? We love a perfect God beyond our faults and sees our needs. And we understand that we're a work in progress. See, salvation says, I'm a work in progress. Religion says, I got it all together because I'm putting on the floor show. I'm hiding behind the name of an organization or an establishment or a belief system, a tenet, or base level requirements. But salvation says, I realize that I am a wretched human being, born unto sin, shaken unto iniquity, that I need work done, and I can't do the work alone. This is what salvation says. I can't do the work alone. I need a Savior. I need someone to open my eyes. That's right. I'm not talking about my physical eyes, because blessed are your eyes for they see, as I'm a sign of sin. But I need the windows of my understanding open. I need my spiritual eyes, my spiritual vision polarized. I need my peripheral vision to be sharpened. So I need a Savior to help me do the work. Can't do the work alone. This is what salvation says. I can't do it. Religion says it's done as long as you obey the doctrine of the organization. Religion says be a good citizen, a good student in public. Salvation says you need a change of heart. You need a heart transplant. You've got to take out that stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. Religion says as long as you do good works in the community, you're okay. But salvation says, you need a heart transplant. You, that's right. And then religion says, as long as you appear to be right and righteous in the community and in public and do what the organization says, religion says you're fine, you're okay. But no, salvation says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And casting down every imagination that exalted itself above God and holding into captivity every thought unto the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. So salvation says your mind will be transformed. Religion says, no, you're programmed. Programming into what we tell you to do. Salvation says, no, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because why? He that turns away from the world has turned unto the kingdom of heaven, and greater things in us shall he do in us. Because we acknowledge him. So there's a differentiation factor between religious, I call it vain religiosity. It's a false sense of security saying, I'm doing what a man told me to do, how he told me to do it, and I'm following the ordinances of the establishment. Salvation says, no. Seek ye therefore the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see the difference? This is the reason why salvation is the greatest experience you can have in your life. You can stay religiously programmed to see how well you fare in these day and time. You're going down for the count. Because we're seeing religious establishment being downfolded every single day. That's right. But when you have salvation, things may fold around you, but oh, God places you in heavenly places in him and sets you up every time to be blessed. That's the difference. You need salvation. You need salvation. What does salvation say? I'm free from what's going on in this world. This world is a temporary residency for believers. It's not something we're supposed to get comfortable with, accommodated to. No, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. No. Because why? We're walking in authority. The world has no authority. The world is a cheap place of a cop-out. They don't even know what commitment is. They don't even know what truth is. Can't spell truth if they had a Merriam-Webster dictionary and it was open to page 12,522. They wouldn't even be able to define the word truth. They couldn't even find it. More or less affiliate with it. Why? Because the world has gone to hell. It's like its father, the devil. That's right. When I say the world, I know many of you have responded back to me and said, you keep talking about the world. What's wrong with the earth? No, I'm not saying the earth is the Lord's. There's no failure with the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And them and all they that dwell therein. The world that I'm speaking of, write me down for the record. Don't misquote me. It's the civilization, the social liable structure, the society is the world that I'm talking about. It's gone to hell. And it's, the hell enlarges itself every day. Get into the Word of God and you'll see what I'm talking about. Hell is enlarging itself every day. You've got more people that are committing crimes of atrocity, more people that are betraying one another, more people that are doing things that are totally unacceptable and inhumane. They're becoming more beast-like, as opposed to becoming more structured and more modernized or more optimal. They're getting worse and worse. So you go ahead and put your confidence in religion in the world. You're going down for the count. You're going down with the serpentine fire. But when you are putting your confidence in God, God will put you where he wants you to be, how he wants you to be, and with whom he wants you with. And let me tell you something. I'm a testimony. What God puts together, let no man draw asunder. Let them try to come in between myself and the one that God has placed to be my partner so we can do this great work for him. God will destroy them, their household, and everything around them, and all the circumference in that area will be touched. He said, don't touch mine anointed. Don't do my prophets no harm. You can't get that type of divine favor through a religious organization. You get it through salvation. Through salvation, we attain the higher calling of the purpose of our existence. We attain a favorable posture in him. Who is man that he can even be considered? He's nobody. He's nowhere. The only identity, I'm telling you, and it's validation of proof, go through this Route 66 and see for yourself, are those who are anchored in the truth. That's right. Anchored promises, and this is what we live by. And when Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight, why? Because this is how you make it over those humps, those bumps, and God shows you things that people are doing in the dark that comes to the light, how he protects and safeguards you from all this garbage, and how he things happen to people around you, and they end up getting knocked off and things happening terrible to them. You say, well, why that happened? God reveals to you, remember when this person offended you and you prayed for them and you blessed them and you didn't stoop to their level? I saw them and I had to let them know, don't touch you. Don't bother you. Don't offend you. He said this in his word. He said it would be better for you to take a millstone and place it around your neck than just to offend one of us. So you're standing on shaky ground. You don't get that coverage in religion. You get the coverage in salvation. Because we're on a mission here. I and so many like me are definitely respected professionals in our field. Don't think I'm in the field of teaching scripture, of instructing, and providing leadership, always for pay. People say, oh, she's being paid $1 million for what she does. She's being paid, you know, a king's ransom for what she does. She wouldn't do all that. She was paid. Let me tell you something. I'm blessed. The Lord provided. He is Jehovah Jireh in my life. And let me tell you something. It's beyond money. I am very privileged to have a pretty stabilized work profession as an educator. And that has opened opportunities and doors for me to go into other venues. Now counting at least 20.